everyone. Good afternoon, wherever you are. It's a joy to be with you again. This morning is a most important topic in our fight, not only against addiction, but for forming habits that last. Today, we're talking about situational awareness. Have you lost it? And we are talking about creating connections. Let's bow as we have prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this amazing opportunity to share with our friends far and wide. We just want to tell you that we are grateful to be able to gather together in this forum. And I pray that you will be our teacher, be with me, be with the topic, be with the hearers. Anoint us, Father, with a sense of your presence, your confidence, your calm, and all that you have for your children today who are fighting a battle for not only their physical life, but for eternal life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have said in other sessions that the addicted brain is fighting hard, but we need to fight smart. Fighting smart involves what is called situational awareness. But I am reminded this morning that we fight, according to the Word of God, we fight with His strength, Christ's strength, that works in us mightily. It is the righteousness of Christ in the believer who surrenders to God who does the fighting. I have learned in my life that whatever I don't have, I can borrow from God. And you know, it is said that possession is 90% of ownership. And if you borrow those things enough, if you don't have a smile in the morning, you can borrow one from God. If you don't have courage, borrow His. If you don't have hope, He's the God of hope, the God of mercy, the God of justice. And what we need, we can borrow from Him. But it is all through the righteousness of Christ, which He imparts to us as we give up our own wayward hearts. And we really need to make that great transition. The righteousness of Christ, it covers us. It covers us as we learn and as we make mistakes along life's way. It also carries us during those dark times in life. It gives us courage. And it also cures us, not only from the guilt of sin, but from its grip. And that's where situational awareness and connections come in today. We're talking about not just getting free, but the tools for staying free. We've spoken about the engineering of the brain, how the brain is constantly remodeling itself according to what it learns. We learned that we have an internal environment and that attitudes shape our actions and our worldview and our behavior. And those behaviors become habits. Yesterday, we talked about the brain-body link, that mind-body connection, the lifestyle link for better mental, physical, and spiritual health. Today, we're talking about gaining traction and staying there. You know, there's a saying, you're only young once, but you can be immature forever. And I don't want that. You don't want that. And the Bible admonishes us to no more be tossed around by circumstances, by feelings, by emotions, by fear. We are to learn how to be grown up in Christ, rooted and grounded, like trees planted by the rivers of water. We all love mountaintop experiences. We've learned that people who struggle with addictions and bad habits often do not have tools and resources for moving forward in a time of conflict and crisis. They've either not learned them or they've not practiced them. And yet the good news is that the brain is constantly rewiring itself according to what it learns. And the Bible itself, with all of its principles, all of its practices, all of its promises, it is a brain mapping, rewiring book. And so it will help to not only put us on the right road, but keep us there. So let's talk about situational awareness for a few moments today. What is situational awareness? Well, first of all, the world around us influences what we focus on, what we think about, our choices, and ultimately our actions. Situational awareness is the perception of our surroundings, Are we paying attention? It's not just the perception of our surroundings that are visual, that we can see and feel and touch. It's also a perception of where we are in time and space, both seen and unseen, grasping their meaning now and for the future. This is such an important concept, and it really amuses me that this has grasped my interest, because when I have a terrible sense of direction and time and space. And when I was 16 years old, I had a Volkswagen. And what else do you need in life when you're 16 and you have a Volkswagen? Well, we lived in Riverside, California. I was going to take a trip with a friend of mine to San Francisco to explore some districts there. And we were pretty much up to no good, but we were determined, my friend Sharon and I. And so I remember early in the morning, it was an 8-hour drive, and we were leaving from University Avenue in Riverside on our way to Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. Well, we set off, I can't remember what time, I think it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and we drove and chatted and drove and chatted. And after about 2 hours, I looked around and I noticed that it just didn't look like we were going north. And we actually were right back at University Avenue. And if we lack such, and I'm really glad that that trip was ruined, looking back at it. But if we are not aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it, we're gonna wind up right back where we started, or maybe even a little bit back. And so situational awareness is a perception of elements that drive us forward and keep us safe. You may have heard of the Granite Mountain Hotshots. The Granite Mountain Hotshots were an elite team of 19 firefighters. They were the Delta Force of firefighters in Prescott, Arizona. And in 2013, they received a call from Yarnell that 300 acres of chaparral on a ridge were in a roaring, out-of-control fire. So it was burning on a ridgetop. He gathered his men. These were the experts. This is what they were trained for. And he set his team to work to get to that area. Well, they reached the other side of the ridge, and they began to work their way down with their eyes on that fire. In the meantime, the wind pivoted, and it disappeared behind the ridge. They had a choice to make. Which direction would they go? They lost sight of the fire, and they went to an area called the Black, where the fire had left an area of ash the day before. It was supposedly a safe zone. The brush had already been incinerated, so it was the safest place to be. But the firefighters, as they hiked down the mountain, as this raging wildfire became obscured, they lost their sense of where it was and which direction the wind was blowing. So they descended an additional 500 feet through that thick chaparral area, and they found themselves in a basin surrounded on three sides by solid granite. Well, this was extremely dangerous, and it offered no means of escape. So just then, the worst thing happened. The wind shifted again, and the flames roared down the mountain and consumed through the smoke and through the flames. These men were consumed so quickly. The fire was so hot that the granite itself on the three sides of those mountains actually became as fragile as eggshell. The fire had burned over there in this situation, said the leader, Eric March. He said he was too good of a firefighter to have let this happen. It was a series of small compromises of not knowing where they were in relation to the wind and the fire that got them into this deadly position. That really reminds me, one of my favorite books for study is the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. It's a very amazing book. It tells us the position of our high priest, Jesus Christ, in heaven. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man." God, in his all-knowing wisdom and power, has given us information about which way the wind is blowing, where he is, and what we need to do. Situational awareness takes into account much more than what is happening to me, myself, and I right now, or even in my community. There are heavenly agencies on a timeline. The Hebrew concept of time is linear, not circular. And so there is a beginning, a middle, and an end. And we, in terms of our situational awareness, according to Bible prophecy, we are at the end. And here Paul finds himself in the book of Hebrews in a dilemma that is similar to the one that we face today. In Hebrews chapter 2, Paul, before chapter 2, has established to the Jews, to the Hebrews, the divinity of Christ. He says he is God. He's worthy of worship. He's not an angel. And he is trying to convince these Judaizers who are about to be dispersed. It's just a few short years before the destruction of Jerusalem. And he says, "I have a problem. You are dull students and the subject is hard." And he's trying to position them in situational awareness as to what is going on right around the corner, right over the ridge. A crisis is coming and they are unaware of the fact. And so he says in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. That's a very important phrase, because they were giving heed. We're giving heed. You're listening to me because you're giving heed. But situational awareness warns us that in the place that we are in this world today, in the timeline of history and prophecy, we need to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we let what we know drift. And the word drift is also slip. The picture is one of drifting inhabitants, unaware of the fact. Before they realize it, they are nearing the cataract, far past the old landmarks, and danger and destruction are at hand. Drifting is one of the most pleasant means of movement. No effort is needed, and as one glides down the river towards sure death, the sensation is one of contentment and well-being, a delightful drowsiness. The downward movement is hardly perceptible. The water moves with the boat, and appearances are deceitful. Unless one awakens in time, the danger is very real. For every one who falls into great sin, there are 10 who are drifting. You know, this is an incredible chapter in the book of Hebrews because it shows the position of our great high priest in a very important time. And I'm going to show you here a picture of the graveyard, the memorial for the Granite Mountain hotshots. They lost situational awareness, and we cannot afford to lose situational awareness now. The Bible teaches us through prophecy that our high priest is finishing up the final moments of the atonement, the application of the blood that he shed on the cross for us. There's an accounting going on. There's a judgment going on. Because the Bible teaches that when he comes, his reward is with him. And so during this special time, the typical service, the anti-typical day, or the typical day of atonement, it was a very special day. So while the Bible in Hebrews talks about our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary closing up the work of this sinful planet, he will take care of sin, it's going to be done away, that evil will be gone, there will be no more tears or sorrow or pain or suffering, no more funeral trains, no more addictions, no more sorrow, no more devil to tempt. But in the meantime, the Day of Atonement in the typical service, which occurred once a year, there were duties of the congregation. And so situational awareness would call us to pay attention to our high priest and to fulfill the duties of the congregation in that typical service. So one of the duties was to afflict our souls. The Bible says that we're to ponder the path of our feet. Let all our ways be established. This is a time where we are to say yes to God, what he shows us. He's going to put us in situations that show us the weakness, the foothold or the stronghold that Satan may have in our lives so that he can strengthen our walls of protection. He has said in the Old Testament, your walls are ever before me. He wants to protect you, preserve you, care for you. He wants to give you strength through every conflict. And so it was a day where we cooperate. We cooperate in that process. And of course, it's uncomfortable, but there's nothing worse than being stuck in a destructive habit or a pattern or a malaise, a doldrum. The sailors say the worst condition for a sailor is to be in a doldrum where there's no wind at all and you're not going anywhere. And so this is a very important aspect. It was a fast day, so we are called in a special sense to have our appetites under control. We're told in the book Temperance that intemperance is at the foundation of all the evil that is in this world. Now that's an incredible statement. And that temperance alone is the foundation of all the graces that come from God, the foundation of all victories to be gained. You may be saying to me, that's outrageous. I've never heard such a thing. But it happens to be true. Think about the scientific term for intemperance. It is the lack of self-restraint. That's what it's called in the literature. So we think about what we're seeing all around us. We see alcohol, drug abuse, smoking, gambling, the inability to control impulse, pornography, gaming, media, shopping, addictions of all kinds, food addiction. And then on another level, we see murder, violence, brawls over toilet paper, people with an inability to exercise and practice self-restraint. Temperance is not a list. It is a character trait of God. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So we just think of the way we live our lives with lack of sleep, no schedule, no impulse control, inability to pay attention, gossip, can't keep a confidence, nagging, impatience, debate. Do you think the Lord has a wonderful work of freedom that he wants to work day by day in your life and mine? You know, we could just get into a vortex of misery thinking about all of these things at once, but we are to follow our high priest. He is our intercessor. He is in the sanctuary interceding for us. And so we need to look at him and let him grow us, move us, cover us with his righteousness and carry us through the trials of life and then cure us of these fleas that infect our souls day by day. This is an encouragement I want to bring to you right now. It says here, let the wicked forsake his way. This is Isaiah chapter 55, 7 and 8. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a wonderful term that is. He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. The enemy wants you to feel hopeless, helpless, and worthless. But he has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the hour is more urgent than ever before. The fire is over the ridge. The wind is shifting. Time will soon be no more. I want to share a few promises. I just luxuriated in this last evening, and I don't have time to read all of these promises, but our high priest, who is involved in this work of judgment right now. He is our advocate. He is our intercessor. He is our king. He is a priest upon his throne, co-reigning with the Father until he takes the throne of David and the lost dominion is brought back again to Christ and to the inhabitants of this earth. But here are some of the promises of this high priest for you right now as situation awareness demands it. Because also, there's a statement I carry in my Bible from a devotional called Our Father Cares, and it says, a storm is coming, relentless in its fury. Are we prepared to meet it? We need not say the perils of that fire, the perils of the last days are soon to come upon us. They have come. We need now the sword of the Lord, the Bible, to cut to the very soul and marrow of fleshly lusts, appetites, and passions. Minds that have been given up to loose thought need to change. Now is the time to put forth earnest effort to overcome the natural tendencies of these carnal hearts of ours. Jesus himself, I will take away your stony heart. I will give you a heart that is God-willed, not self-willed. That is the righteousness of Christ working in us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The weaker you know yourself to be, the stronger you will be in him. It is not only at the beginning of the Christian life that this renunciation of self is to be made. At every advanced step heavenward, it is to be renewed. All of our good works are dependent on a power outside of ourselves. Therefore, there needs to be a continual reaching out of the heart after God, constant, earnest confession of sin, humbling of the soul before him. We are only safe as we feel our weakness and cling to the Savior. And he, friends, is also clinging to you. I'm going to share a few promises with you, and then we're going to move on. This is from Hebrews. These are the special promises for the special people who are especially weak at the end of time in the atmosphere of the most peril. Just as Paul was pleading with the Hebrew people just before the destruction of Jerusalem, giving them these promises are for you and I. We have angels that are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who will be heirs of salvation. You know, I think of the trillions of bacteria in the gut, and if we really even just thought about that, we would never feel alone. But imagine, you have angels. You have an angel, a guardian angel. And when you're in a situation where you're in a room full of people and maybe you're being set aside, marginalized, left alone, you have angels that are conversing with those people's angels. And there's a plan for you. And God is there. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that through death, Christ will destroy him, the devil, that had the power of death, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Have you been stuck for a long time? Jesus saw that man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. I think it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. He had been paralyzed from the neck down for 38 years. The context of the story tells us that his own lifestyle brought him into that situation. He was sitting by this pool waiting for a miracle. He wasn't strong enough to get there. It was a superstition of the day. Jesus came and saw him, and he saw that he had been there a long time. Are you going to tell the Lord that you've been in your situation for too long to be able to get out of it? That's what this man did. Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? And the Lord started telling him all his problems instead of reaching out in faith. Jesus knew that his faith was weak. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We will be brought to that place many times as challenges come. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. He healed the man. Well, later on in verse 14, Jesus meets him at the temple. And he says, behold, you are made whole. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Well, what could be worse than being paralyzed from the neck down with no one to help you? Well, my husband had that answer. He said being paralyzed from the neck up and not wanting help. That's the worst condition for a human being to be in. The Bible warns us to have situational awareness at the end of time. In Matthew chapter 24, we are not just to operate in the here and now. We are not just to operate in what we see that's right in front of us. We must operate in the context of what the Bible tells us is happening real time, right now, in the sanctuary. We need to look up. It is your thought that your mistakes and transgressions have been so grievous that the Lord will not have respect to your prayers. Look up, you who are tried and tempted and discouraged. Look up. It is ever safe to look up. It is fatal to look down. Those firemen didn't look up. They didn't test the wind, and they were consumed, and their graves are there. The sinner must look up. And so in Matthew chapter 24, the Bible tells us exactly our need of situational awareness. We've talked about the tools for getting free, staying free, the lifestyle and spiritual and attitudinal disciplines, how you're made to make it, but we've got to be vigilant. I suppose some living free or addiction recovery programs would call this relapse prevention. But we've got a lot more to prevent regarding relapse than just that bad habit. It says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, it says, as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew not. They weren't watching. They didn't have situational awareness. It came. It took them all away. Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. Know that the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you think not. Chapter 13 of Mark really arrested my attention with regards to situational awareness. And you're going to be paying more attention to this as you read your Bible. You'll see these alert messages. You know, when there's a light that starts flashing on your car or your phone, the battery's low, well, wow, we run to get those things fixed. Or that little funny shape in the car on the dashboard that says your tires are low, we respond to those alerts. Situational awareness teaches us to respond to the alerts that are taking us down. If of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels, nor the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray. You don't know when the time is, but situational awareness tells us it is near. So it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and commanded the doorkeeper, watch. Watch, therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house is coming. Lest he come suddenly, he find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. As a person who was a runaway, undisciplined, impulsive, bulimic for so many years, from age 11 to age 31, there are situations that I get myself into where I have to be more watchful than perhaps someone who had not been through those kinds of experiences. There are weaknesses that we have, scars, cultivated habits or tendencies that we've inherited that we need to especially watch. Revelation chapter 14 tells us that we are nearing the end of this process of judgment. This message of salvation is going forward, but we can see from this list that it's getting full ripe. So the angel in the midst of heaven now has great authority. It's crying with a loud voice. Now it's crying mightily. The eternal gospel is being spread throughout this earth. I love the description in Joel chapter 2 because God's people are actually compared to a sun rising over a dark mountain. Not a fire, but a sun rising. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's a call out of error. Errors in living, errors in doctrine, because doctrine is going to drive our worldview and our behavior. So having truth, he is the truth, it sets you free. Don't let anybody else tell you what truth is. You discover it for yourself. And it's not the beginning of the judgment hour now, friends. We're at the end. So yes, it's a time of danger, risk, trials. We see increased brokenness and even death. But it's also a time of power, glory, perseverance. He'll take us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Read the promises that are in Hebrews just for God's people. It's a time of restoration. It's a time where we can claim eternal life. So I've said this before, we're not in a playground. We're in a battleground. So here on this earth, right now, every day, today, when I walk out this door and when you're through watching this program, what is it that we need to watch? Well, your environment is what surrounds you. Your culture is what pressures you. You may have drinking buddies. You may have stuff in your house that needs to go. You may have a pressure from work or a culture of school that you need to re-examine. Your biology is what changes you. Your brain is what drives you, and the spiritual is who leads you. I personally do not believe that we can go to sleep in any one of these areas. The Bible says a person without self-restraint is like a city with two problems. It's broken down, so the infrastructure is broken down that actually gives the city the road. You think of New Orleans. You think of how the roads were just broken down. 80% of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, 80% of it was under 20 feet of water. And so the infrastructure of that city was broken down. So now the city is in survival mode. It can't thrive. It can't prosper. Its economy is trashed. It is now in survival mode. And because of that, there's a second problem. It was without walls. That means it's more vulnerable to vandalism, violence, vagrancy. So when our walls of protection are broken down, it makes us vulnerable, more vulnerable to anxiety, depression, addiction. It's a mind-body-spirit relationship. None of them is less important than the other. They all work together. I love this picture of my grandchildren. If you're listening by radio, you can't see it, but they are strapped in their seats in a car wash, and they hated car washes when they were little. The scripture says, fear not, fear not. My granddaughter is looking terrorized, hyper-focusing on the problem. My grandson, Benjamin, is covered with stuffed animals, trying to hide himself from the terror to come. You can see the brush in the back of the car. And this is what our natural tendency is when we are faced with frightening things. We either hyper-focus on the problem or we hide in an addiction. But here's the beautiful promise in Desire of Ages. All who consecrate, how many? All, that's right. All who yield, who consecrate, who give it up, consecrate soul, body, and spirit to God will be constantly receiving a new endowment of physical and mental power. I am so thankful for the renewing, restoring. In fact, with alcoholism, within 2 years of abstinence, the dry weight of the brain recovers. And so, yes, we are left with scars. Yes, there are the results of the things that we have done and lived with. But the restorative power of God is mighty. He still has something for you to do for Him. He wants to revive you, renew you, and recover you. God's word is life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Again, situational awareness. What am I watching? What am I doing? What am I telling myself that is not true, that is providing an excuse to do that addiction? That's really important. Keep your heart with all diligence so that you will have life. We talked the other day about one of the most deadly arrows in the human heart, and that is self-pity. There may be a reason why you are where you are, but we cannot let it become the excuse. Let God weaponize that weakness for the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches that we're saved as complete whole beings. We cannot separate the physical, mental, and spiritual components. I love this from Edward Fudge, The Fire That Consumes. Man is an indivisible whole, not parts into which man may be divided. The whole man, from top to bottom, exists by relation to God. This is from Dr. John Rady, a psychiatrist from Harvard University. Science is resoundingly in harmony with this Bible teaching. Emotion wells up from the brain and the body acting together. We cannot separate emotion from cognition or cognition from the body. Separating the body and the brain is rapidly coming to be seen as ridiculous. The brain has been called the hardware of the soul. The battle is not for the bulge. It's for the brain. It's not about weight control. It's about appetite control. That's a brain thing. Every time you make a good decision today, through the power of God, through the instruction of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit prompting you, every time you make a change, those changes are left embossed upon your material self. Your brain is getting more beautiful, and there's a gift waiting for you tomorrow. And that is that God's thoughts and His plan and the habits that He wants you to have can become automatic. So you don't have to fight to do it anymore. It actually becomes something that is a part of who you are. It's not a list anymore. It's your life. A life that measures with the life of God. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast, not in your own strength, but in the faith, knowing that you're going to make these decisions based on faith and truth, not on feelings and circumstances. Will you make that pledge with me today? It's a wonderful class to be enrolled in. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, you may have had a dark past, but you can have a bright future. God can wonderfully change. The Bible says that he came to show mercy to 1,000 generations and break the cycle of sin. My PowerPoint is stuck. There we go. It just disappeared. There we go. Thank you. And that's all right. I can go extemporaneously, but then we won't be done on time. So separating the body and the brain is rapidly coming to be seen as ridiculous. Our scripture resisting. Aha! Here's where we're supposed to be. Remember your reasons. What is the reason that you're watching this today? What is it that God is talking to you about? Remember why you made the decision that you want to be free, and remember how bad it is to stay stuck. I shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. There is pain and difficulty in an addiction, because the addicted brain is not doing this thing to feel good. They're doing it to keep from feeling bad. Staying stuck is miserable. It's difficult. It's painful. Making a new choice is difficult. It's painful. There's light at the end of the tunnel in both scenarios. In this scenario, it's a train, and it's going to run you over. In this scenario, it's Christ, light, truth. If the Son sets you free, if He makes you free, you will be free indeed. So remember your reasons why you engaged in this battle, why you signed up for this school. Recognize old traps and triggers. How many times are you going to tell yourself, just this once, it's going to be okay? How many times are you going to tell yourself that? Tell yourself the truth. Recalculate and promptly act on a new and better choice. My sense of direction is so terrible. My machine is constantly recalculating. In fact, when I was in a big city at a convention and Dane wasn't there to help me, I actually had a GPS on my phone, one on the car, and one around my neck, because I would even get lost walking around the city. And I used to do zoning plans. I would do these beautiful plans on paper, and my husband would have to drive me around to find them. Now, if anybody out there knows the fruit or vegetable that improves this, please let me know. So I had three GPSs going on at the same time. You may need a lot of support, a lot of people, a lot of input, a lot of signs around your house, a lot of changes in your environment to get you out of where you are right now. Use them. So recalculate and promptly act on a new and better choice. Reach out in prayer. That is so important. Prayer connects you prayer isn't just positive thinking. You're connecting with the living God who is going to change your inclination. He's going to give you the power and the will to push through. So reach out in prayer to our Savior for strength to follow through with what He Himself is telling you to do. So my PowerPoint has disappeared again, and it has gone. You can't trust the PowerPoint, but you can trust the Lord. The Bible says, trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a hiding place for us. God cares about your schedule. And scheduling is very, very important. He wants you to rest physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. His priorities for your life will not crush you. It is sin, bitterness, anger, self-pity. That's what crushes us. His priorities will bring rest, balance, and joy into your life. They will strengthen and empower you. So win with God's power and plan. God is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. Let's talk just for the last few minutes that we have together about relationships and worship. Connect with people who will encourage you in your positive choices. One of the worst things that a person can do who's trying to break free from an addiction is to just immediately go back and try to connect and rescue with people that they've been partying with. That is an entrapment. You're not strong. Don't do it. So connect with the people who will teach you a better way to think and live, who will mentor and support you, and who will keep you accountable. Social connectedness itself is going to build your immune system. You will have a longer, happier journey on this planet, fewer mental and emotional problems, and those can drive addictions. And by the way, we want you to work with your healthcare provider, especially if you are suffering from severe depression, if you have addiction to a substance, or if you have suicidal thoughts. But you will have, through social connectedness, less depression and better overall health. I love this from Dr. Rady, A User's Guide to the Brain. Interacting with other intelligent and interesting people is one of the best ways to keep expanding your networks in the brain and in society. The Bible says, go with wise men and be wise, but he who keeps company with the foolish will be broken. I think it's so important in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, especially as you see the day coming. Again, there's a trigger. There's a red light. Here is a situational awareness, red light flashing. Don't stay home and watch church on TV if you can come to church. I know we're in a special situation with the pandemic right now, but we've got to get together because time alone with God is going to inspire us. But truly, it's as we interact with others that we mature, that we learn. We learn how to get along. We learn how to forbear with one another, tolerate one another, listen to one another, exhort one another daily while it is today. Those who are without friends, God puts in families. Don't you love that? He has made provision so that no one who is alone is sidelined. And that's what his church is functioning for. He makes himself families like a flock. The Bible says we are members one of another. God created you for a healthy, healing relationship with him and others. There's really no substitute for this. For habits to actually stay changed, and tomorrow we're going to talk about habits that last and habit formation. For habits to stay changed, people must believe that change is feasible, and the power of a group to teach individuals how to believe happens when people come together to help one another change. Belief is easier when it occurs within a community. That doesn't mean that we use social pressure, cajoling, lecturing, mothering, unasked for advice, but it means we press together and we learn in an environment of warmth and community. I had a precious lady tell me yesterday she had left God for many years, got into all kinds of trouble. She finally came back to the Lord. She walked in the church door. She reeked of smoke, and the church members just embraced her, hugged her, loved her, and it brought her right back to Christ, right back to the church. So some designer activities that as we add value to our own lives, we're going to add more value to other people's lives. And God gives us a permission slip to learn and to nurture ourselves, to take care of ourselves so that we will have benefits to share with one another. That might be family or church activities, programs, classes, hobbies. I know so many people that have special gifts and skills that they share with other people. Church, worship, prayer meeting, outreach activities. I know that Some of us are introverts. I include myself in that. But just showing up, there's studies that show that just showing up at an event is going to increase people's perception of your likability. I mean, we can ruin it by opening our mouths, but it's really a nice thing to know that just showing up at an event, you're going to be seen as a more likable person. You'll be integrated into that community. So volunteering, social events with friends, centered on healthy activities. Create some of your own. I love this. This is from a Journal of the American Geriatric Society. Faith in God, prayer, and religious attitudes are strongly associated with life satisfaction. Personal religiosity is positively correlated with the rejection of substance use, even after controlling for individual differences in personality. You know, we just put too much stock in these personality type books. And people use it almost like, what sign are you? They'll say, what are you? Well, I'm choleric and sanguine. Well, what are you? I'm phlegmatic and whatever the other one is. And someone asked my son when he was a little boy what he was, and he said, he didn't know what they were talking about. He said, I'm half vegetarian and half Italian. He had no idea. So let's just be really careful not to put people in boxes. Let's not put ourselves in boxes. God may put you in a difficult situation to stretch you and to grow you and to give you that beautiful, balanced personality. So spiritual well-being is at the center of a healthy lifestyle. So connect with God every day in His Word, through prayer, through reflection. When you connect with God, here's what He's going to do for you. He will forgive you. He will create new desires in you. He will empower you. He will guide you. He will save you. What a grocery basket of goods that is. If you could go to the store and buy a miracle in a can, would you do it? I mean, if I could go and buy this, and Jesus says you can. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Come. You who have no money, come, buy and eat, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not good? Delight yourself in Him. You will learn from your mistakes. That is key. You will mature in His character. You won't be a child forever. When you connect with God, here's what's going to happen to you. There's something He's going to do for you, but as you follow the prescription of the Day of Atonement, that it was a fast day, that our appetites are under control, we're consenting to continue to say yes to God as we afflict our souls for the things that hurt Him. There was no work on that day, so no other priority is more important. It doesn't mean that we're unemployed by choice, but it means that everything is second to our service for God. And it was a holy convocation, a gathering time together. This is what He will do for you, your high priest who you can't see, who is right over the ridge, but He's coming soon and He is with you. You will walk in His love and strength. You will grow in His grace. You will rejoice in His salvation. So the spiritual recovery is constituted by three R's. Recognize the need of a power outside of yourself. Reach out to God in prayer. Receive His purpose and power for living by spending time in His Word every day. He will give you courage for your journey, wisdom for each day, help if and when you stumble, and joy in your healing path. You know, when we're on a journey, can you imagine going on a car trip and only having a nice time when you finally arrive, and it's absolutely a miserable, terrible time the entire time, no matter what you do? No. The joy in the journey of change is not what you get. It's who you become as you change. That's where the joy is. And in His presence is fullness of joy. There are circumstances that we have to deal with, but God will give you calm. He'll give you peace. He says, don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And like a pine sapling that grows stronger, sturdier, and bigger with each passing season, you will gain strength of character as you walk with God through every success in life, through every failure, through every achievement, through every setback. He will give you the courage to turn every setback into a comeback as you climb with your Savior in the joyful walk of getting ready for His very soon appearing. You have searched me, O God, and you know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You understand me. The Lord understands all that is misunderstood. He knows you. He knows your thoughts from afar. Your hairs are numbered. You keep watch over my steps and my sleep. You have knowledge of all my ways. He knows why you are in the situation that you are in. He wants to deliver. He says, you will hold me by my right hand. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel. Is that your decision today? Would you like to make that choice to be free, to stay free, and to develop the situational awareness, not of just what's happening around you, but what's happening in you, what's happening in the world, and where we are in time, so that we can be ready and prepared to meet our Lord in peace? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we were able to share together today. Lord, it just feels like family with the people that I can't even see. This is the journey that you call all of us to, and it's a path of release. It's a path of trust. It's a path of growth. We thank you. We pray for the courage to continue to say yes, but to develop the antenna of awareness. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.